to be with you this morning. Joe asked me to share just a little bit about who I am so that you'd know who I am. I live in Brisbane, Australia. I think I do. I'm not actually there all that often. God has just opened the way for me to go to the nations of the earth, and so I go. I was an Assemblies of God pastor, and the Lord called me to go to various denominations and groups of people, and He opened the way for me, and so I said, yes, Lord, I'll go. It's become a bit of a joke, I've heard, that I'm a blow-dryer nail varnish girl. I met some of these girls at Don Double's camp last year. When Don Double asked me to speak at his camp, I assumed, as in Aussie terms, that it would be a church camp, that it would be held in a nice Christian holiday centre or convention centre. And he said, well, we camp on the ground. And I said something like, but I don't have to camp on the ground, do I? I was most concerned that they didn't have a blow dryer outlet, power outlet. But praise God they did. So it's great to be with you. I go to a number of different nations. I've been through the Middle East, spoken in places that men have said women can't speak, spoken in nations that men have said there's no way you can preach the gospel. There's always a way with God. So it's my very great pleasure to be with you this morning. I have people at home praying for us. I have one lady that's been fasting and will fast for 40 days while I'm away so that I don't have to fast while I'm away. And she's just lifting up every meeting before the Lord. So as soon as I get on the plane to come home, she's released to eat. Isn't that fabulous? So she's praying for us. In fact, they're all praying for us today. What I want to share with you before we start to pray for some people is really about the Lord's intense desire for relationship with us. And I'm hoping by the Spirit of God today to impart to you a revelation such as you have never known or understood of the fact that the Father desires relationship with you. When we speak of desires of our heart, we all have various desires of our heart. We have things within us that often people don't know anything about. People don't really understand who we are, but the Father understands who we are. And more than anything else, He longs for relationship with us. And so today, I guess my aim, more than praying for individual people and more than bringing you a fancy message, is to call you as a prophet of God to lay hold of you in the realm of the Spirit and to call you to a new place of relationship with the Father. A new place of forgetting about your socioeconomic background, your education, even the failures of the past, the things that you've been through, the things that you've come through, to a place of really desiring to know Him in a more intimate way. Intimacy with God moves the hand of God in a way that petition praying never could. When you simply walk with Jesus, there comes a level of relationship whereby you share your heart with Him. You just talk to Him and you hear what He has to say on a whole new level. Before we do that this morning, I want to pray for the sick. I want to pray for those that are in pain and those that are suffering. Even if you've had prayer before, I want to pray for you again. Is there no one? I mean, the Lord wouldn't have told me to do it unless... Please do come. We want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Wow! Wow! What's happening here? Okay. Well, those of you that are fit and well today, you better extend your hands to these ones. We're in agreement prayer. My goodness. I'm quite surprised. Please do extend your hands. Hallelujah. Father, we come in the power of agreement today, according to Matthew 18. We are in agreement, Father, that, Lord, we come to seek healing. Father, we've come to ask that every illness be healed today, that, Father, every disease be cut off in the name of Jesus right now, totally cut off in the realm of the Spirit. We stop every disease in its tracks at the name of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Father, I take authority over every generational curse and weakness and infirmity that has come down the family lines, and I break its power in Jesus' name. Father, I release the healing virtue of Jesus to flow in everybody today, Lord, everybody. Father, even that which the doctor has proclaimed and that which the doctor has said, Father, we refute with the word of God and the name of Jesus. We're asking, Lord, that healing would flow. Father, right down this spine right now. Right down the spine. Let the anointing of the Spirit of God restore. Father, we call Joe's body back into alignment under the Lordship of Christ. Thank you. Father, by faith, we take our healing today. I want you to just, in the Spirit, as a prophetic action, just take your healing today. Receive it, Lord. We receive it. We give you all of the glory. Give you all of the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Bless you. Well, it's a good opportunity for miracles, isn't it? You know, sometimes we feel that we almost have to twist the Lord's arm to get him to perform his word, to get him to fulfill his will. And in the body of Christ, largely in the days gone by, we have done everything that we know to do to get answers to prayer, to get our families in the household of faith, to see breakthrough, to see turnaround. And I want to say to you today that this is a time when God is calling us to intimacy of relationship, that we would come to a place where we know that we're in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in covenant with the Father, we're in covenant with one another, and we do not have to try and twist the Father's arm to perform his will. When you walk in intimacy of relationship, there's just a flow of relationship where you don't struggle and strive. The Lord tells you when he requires you to fast or pray or press through, but really it's just a walk of faith and a walk of joy and a walk of praise. And there's some things that the Lord wants to do here this morning that you've been seeking him over for a really long time. I'm going to be really honest here today, and I'm going to ask you, who's single and desires a husband? Now, the others, don't laugh. The others of you, don't laugh. This is a serious matter. And I believe there are miracles here today. If you want a husband, I want to pray for you. You know, God knows the desires of your heart. I'm coming to a place in my life where I'm learning to see God in a whole new way. I've walked with the Lord since I was 19 years old, raised in an unsaved home, though my extended family were Pentecostal believers. You know, they had the buns and the no makeup. Well, obviously, I don't follow them in any way, shape or form. But they literally prayed me into the kingdom of God. And since I was 19 years old, I've had prophecies about a husband. You know, and I want to say to you that you just stand in faith and God will bring that person. And you might look out and you might say, well, there's no one on the horizon, there's no one in the fellowship. God can do it like that. You need to start stirring your faith, not in a desperate way where you're on the prowl all the time, you know. You know, the antenna goes up and you're thinking, you know, look at that left-hand finger. You know, most single women look at the left-hand finger first when they meet someone nice. Not going on the prowl, but stirring up your faith and preparing your heart. You know, in my closet, I've left half the space in my closet for the man God gives me. Now, it's not much room he's got there, but he's going to have to put up with a lot of jewellery and scarves and shoes, my Imelda Marcos shoes, you know. But prepare your heart and get ready. and expect God to do it. Why don't you stand up? We want to believe with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Delight yourself in the Lord and He gives you the desires of your heart. Now, do you know what you want? You don't want just anybody. Hallelujah. Let's wait upon the Lord. You know, I believe in miracles. I minister to both men and women in churches and camps and conferences, but I've got a heart for women. I've got a heart for the needs of women. Often we see barren women conceive children. Often we see women that have had operations or had difficulties with their reproductive organs just have a miracle from God. God cares about women. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, for each of these women, I'm asking that you would release men of God. Father, I'm asking that they would not have to settle for less than your best, that, Lord, they would not become desperate in heart, that, Father, they would not be on the prowl all the time. Lord, I'm asking that you would release a specific and a new anointing this day. Lord, a new anointing, that they as women would step into a new level in the Spirit this day. A place of peace about their womanhood. A place of beauty before you, Lord, where they're preparing themselves as Esther did for the man that you would bring. Father, where they're standing in the grace of God. Lord, where they understand who they are in a new way. Where they see who you are in a new way. Lord, I lay hands upon them this day, and I agree with them in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for these men of God. We thank you, Lord, that they will be men of prayer and men of the word. They'll be men of faith and men of love. Father, we agree in the name of Jesus. God has someone very special for you. Do you know that? He has someone very special for you. Very special. Set aside. Faithful, loyal, men of integrity, men of their word, honourable men. Lord, at the right time, bring these men along in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you wait upon the Lord about this, and you prepare your heart and prepare your life for this. Maybe you need to start to make room in your closet, you know, as an act of faith. Maybe you need to, you know, do something at home as an act of faith. Get yourself ready before the Lord. Press into Him. Pray for that man. When you meet him, you'll be able to say, I've prayed for you. I've stood with you. That you would be a blessing in the earth. That you'd be successful. That you'd walk in victory. That you'd come into all that God has for you. Amen. Please be seated. I didn't intend to do that this morning. There's something new that God wants to do in the life of this fellowship. There's a new anointing He wants to pour out. There's a newness in the realm of the Spirit. And I believe that the newness and the new anointing will cause the vision of the church to go from a place of broadness to a place of very specific, very narrow. And I'm going to share that a bit more in depth tomorrow. But we have the first service together. We have the first meeting together. And I just want to say to you that God loves you. I'm not saying that from here. I'm saying it from here. In the last year or so, the Lord's taken me on so many different adventures. I haven't even got to my word yet. But the Lord has just been showing me how much He loves me. We're into a season when He's going to lavish His love upon us. In January, I went to a minister's conference in Texas, and I had wondered how I'd get from the accommodation to the conference. There seemed to be no way I could get there. I was terrified of driving in the US because the steering wheel's on the wrong side of the road. They travel in the opposite direction, and you've got six-lane freeways that, you know, they're jammed up with traffic at 6 to 8 a.m. in the morning. And I was thinking, Lord, I really don't know that I can drive. After getting off a long-haul flight, driving in Texas, I really don't want to do it. I contacted the ministry that I was going to. I contacted their office in Australia and they said, we can't tell you anyone else that's going from your country. Because of the privacy laws, we're not allowed to release names. I emailed all over the world and I said, is anyone willing to hire a car with me? Perhaps we can work it out together, read the map and work out how to get there. And I also rang one of the ministries and said, now tell me where this place is, from the accommodation. Can I catch a train? Can I catch a taxi? And they said, oh no, it's 45 minutes out of town. It seemed like all the doors had closed and I said to the Father, well, you know, Lord, I really believe that you want me to go, but I don't think I could manage driving. Anyway, a few days later I received an email from the Hong Kong Chinese border. It was a friend of mine, a missionary, who'd heard from someone, who'd heard from someone, who'd heard from someone, you know what the Christian network's like, who'd heard from someone else that I was needing a lift in Texas. Now, I had simply prayed about it. And, And she said, oh, I've got friends in Fort Worth and, I've contacted them and you'll be staying with them. And by the way, they've got a limousine service. So I had asked the Lord for, I'd asked him for a lift. And he gave me a car and driver. Now, it wasn't about riding around in a fancy car. It just overwhelmed me the way the Lord undertook. I wanted a lift. He provided so well. We're coming into a day where the Lord will show us his provision in a way that we've not seen before. Same with husbands that he brings. Miraculous provision, because that gives you a testimony in the earth. It gives you something to say. People often don't want to hear when we have a big Bible and we say John 3:16. They don't want to hear. But when you can stand and say, this is what God's done in my life. When you bring your new husband to your family and say, God gave me this man. When you have a healing, you can stand and say, the doctor said there was no hope, but Jesus healed me. It gives you a testimony. Amen. Now, briefly, I want to talk about probably my favorite character in the Word of God, Mary of Bethany. Mary of Bethany, spoken of in the New Testament only three times, was a young woman, perhaps 16, 18 years old. We don't know exactly how old. A young single girl, probably a teenager. She was not a theologian, not a prominent person. She was not influential. She was simply a girl. But that girl touched the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that no one else touched his heart. And I want to challenge you today that we can be women who walk intimately with Jesus, who feel his very heartbeat for other people, who are led by the Spirit to do profound things that we will never understand the implications of in this life. This young girl, spoken of three times in the Word of God. Firstly, we see she was spoken of in the book of Luke, where her sister, who was believed to have been the older sister, the woman of the house, there's no talk of parents, so we believe that Mary, Martha and Lazarus, the two sisters and the brother, they ran the house, the parents were dead, and Martha invited Jesus back for dinner one day. Now you must understand, when you invite Jesus home for dinner, you're not inviting him home for a sandwich with jam on it. You're not inviting him just to cruise by for pizza. You're inviting Jesus and every single person that he has with him. His ministry team, his entourage, the hangers-on, the curious, everybody that latched onto Jesus, you're inviting for dinner. So when Martha said, hey, pop by for a meal, she was saying, come on, Jesus, into my home and all that you have with you. And it's believed that there were 80 people with Jesus that day. I want to read to you what Martha went through from the book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke 10:38. And I want to give you some scriptures today that you can then take and study this out for yourself. Let me read it to you. Luke 10:38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. This means Martha was very much the woman of the house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things." One version of the Word of God says distracted about many things. "But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So we see that Martha was quite stressed that day. You know, when you have a lot of people in your home, more than you're comfortable with, it's very stressful. You know, people go places you don't want them to go. Even when you shut the door, you guys probably don't shove things in cupboards and shut the door. Have a last minute run around the house before people come. You wouldn't do that, do you? I didn't. People touch things you don't want them to touch. They pick things up, you know, your precious things. They might not be worth a lot of money, but they're precious to you. They pick them up and they put their fingerprints on it and their mitts all over everything. And so this woman, Martha, was extremely stressed. When you have 80 people in your home, it's not as if they're in the dining room or the lounge room. They're all over the house. And you're thinking, is the bathroom clean? Is there a fresh towel in the bathroom? You know, really, you are, aren't you? This woman was stressed and her sister just wanted to be with Jesus. Now, throughout the Word of God and the three times that Martha and Mary are mentioned, there is a total contrast between these two girls. Always a contrast. Now, the challenge to us is to be as Marys before the Lord. The second instance we read about Mary and Martha was when their brother had died in John chapter 11. In fact, it's almost the whole chapter is devoted to the raising up of Lazarus. Now, in that particular passage of Scripture, Jesus knew that Lazarus had died, but he delayed in going to pray for the man of God, his friend Lazarus. He hung around and didn't leave for 3 days, and when he arrived, Scripture says that Martha came out and she had a conversation with Jesus. Jesus was her Lord and Master. She loved the Lord and he loved her. But she had almost a theological conversation with the Lord, and she said, "You know, Lord, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. But, you know, even now I know that you can do this." And he's having this theological dialogue with Martha. But it didn't bring about a miracle. It didn't bring any change to the situation. It didn't move the hand of God. And so she went back off into the house mourning.